Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today I am talking with Kelsey Cowley, Vice President of Self-Advocates of Indiana, and Amanda Circle, SAI Administrator. Over the past year, Kelsey has been part of a fellowship program through the Self-Advocacy Resource and Technical Assistance Center. Kelsey's work with the fellowship has focused on sexual abuse and violence against people with disabilities. Projects that have come out of the fellowship include the creation of a statewide abuse prevention task force, the development of education materials to help people with disabilities identify sexual violence and know their rights, the establishment of a code of ethics for SAI that includes policies on sexual violence, and the creation of a healthy sexuality education program called Sexuality Matters. For her final project, Kelsey is creating a toolkit that can be used to help self-advocates start the conversation about the issue in other states. Kelsey and Amanda are with me in the studio today. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Reading through that list makes me tired. You have been busy this year. So let's start with what the focus of this issue was, why you brought it up. And Amanda, of course, you can feel free to jump in on this conversation as well.
So I experienced sexual violence through a relationship, and it's hard for me to not sit back as an advocate to allow my friends to go through something that I went through and not do anything about it. It's a topic that's been taken care of for years. There's no better way of being an advocate for people with disabilities in that area.
And Amanda, talk about why these things from SAI standpoint are important to you.
We had already been interested in this topic over the past year, obviously. In the news, we've seen so much with like the Me Too movement. And unfortunately, we haven't heard a lot from people with disabilities in that conversation. And so as an organization with the board of directors, we kind of all wanted to focus on that. And including with the ARC, we kind of wanted to do something about it. So we had already kind of started a partnership with Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence, which I'll talk about a little bit later, but we were already kind of interested in it, and I saw this, and I know Kelsey was very passionate about this topic as well, given her experience, and we saw this opportunity for the SARTEC Fellowship and thought that it was something that other states might be wanting to address as well, and so kind of thought it would be a perfect opportunity for Kelsey to get some really great experience and get paid to do it because it's a paid
sure.
fellowship, and it would also, I mean, selfishly help us too in our efforts. So it kind of worked out perfectly to kind of partner. So SAI has been serving as her host. Each fellow has to have a host organization. So predominantly that's been me kind of assisting her with this project.
Okay, so I really appreciate what Amanda was saying. And so now you had the mission in mind. Okay, mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. But one of the things you did then was to conduct research on instances mm-hmm. of sexual violence toward people with disabilities. So what did that research kind of uncover for you?
That people with disabilities are 7 times more likely to experience sexual assault.
That is staggering.
Yeah. In their lifetime. And 90% of women that have a disability or a developmental disability or just any kind of disability will experience sexual assault periodically.
And let's talk about the information through surveys for providers and people with disabilities helped in helping with your research. Talk about that.
For the self-advocate survey, it helped me learn what people know and want to know about sexuality, relationships, and sexual violence. It also showed me that people wanted more information on marriage and having kids and what different types of relationships look like. I also wanted to know if people had other people in their lives that supported them when they have questions about sexuality, their bodies, or relationships, and if not, where could they get that information?
So yeah. The handouts that she created, it had different resources in Indiana for people who have experienced sexual violence, who to contact, and also how friends or family can support people who have experienced these types of things. And so that was one of the resources. And then Kelsey also created a resource about basically an individual sexual self-advocacy bill of rights is what we termed it, which was just a list of things that people have a right to say no. They have a right to learn information about about sexuality and about relationships and a lot of different things. And so that was another resource. But really the survey helped us also with the Sexuality Matters program and figuring out what topics we wanted to cover and we wanted to talk about, because we really found out exactly what people wanted to know about and what they felt like they didn't understand.
And was it eye-opening for you? I mean, because when you talk about sexual abuse or any type of abuse that is hidden, gathering all this information, was it eye-opening for you to understand that people were not, they didn't know their rights, or they didn't know that they could come forward?
It's a touchy subject for sexual violence against people with disabilities, because like with the state, they don't look at us like we have rights. They don't look at us like we are human beings.
When you say the state, you mean like the justice system?
The justice system, yeah.
Sometimes these things get reported, but more often times it's not even, they don't even get to that point. And so there's so many risk factors that make it so that most of the time it's not even reported. So it may be that a person with a disability doesn't either feel confident or have the advocacy skills to say what's happened to them, or they might not know the terminology, don't communicate verbally, that they might not be able to say the words that to tell someone that this happened to them. So unfortunately, the real concern is that most of these don't even get reported or go anywhere. And it's not actually because the system fails, but it's just that people have a lot of, there's a lot of barriers to people actually communicating what happened to them.
Are there protective measures for people to look for so that they're not abused?
Here are some things that are likely for people to be protected. Access to safe housing, fulfilling employment, access to education, friends and community involvement, access to healthcare, self-advocacy, and self-determination skills.
And so these things not only increase the quality of life of an individual, but actually protect them from harm. So having access to safe housing puts people maybe at a less risk of experiencing violence. Being financially stable from having a good job. And this isn't just for people with disabilities. This is, for all people.
Everyone, yeah.
When you have a fulfilling, nurturing life, you're less likely to experience these negative things. And so when we look at preventing violence, we're not just looking at eliminating it happening in the first place, but we're talking about the things that we can build up in people's lives that can protect them from experiencing violence. And so, especially with people with disabilities who, oftentimes might not have those community connections, they might not have competitive and community employment. So building up kind of a structure around them and supports around them that can will ultimately protect them in the long run.
And that's why you developed the Sexuality Matters program that was created in partnership with SAI and the ARC of Indiana. Talk about that.
So the Sexuality Matters program kind of came about through a partnership with the Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence. They are a domestic violence organization that's here, and they approached us wanting to partner. They had some grant funding and wanted to give us that funding to start something because we know that for whatever reason, a lot of times people with disabilities, maybe not necessarily so recently, but in the past, haven't been included in your typical sexuality education that we all went through in high school, or wasn't adequate or wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And we know that when people are educated and informed and it empowers them to know about their bodies, about their rights, about what is and isn't okay.
Absolutely.
And so we felt like it was a huge a huge need to make sure that people had that information and knowledge. So they provided us with funding to purchase a curriculum by a company called Elevatus Training, and the curriculum's called Sexuality Education for People with Developmental Disabilities. And the cool thing about this curriculum is that it was created in partnership with a self-advocate group in Vermont called Green Mountain Self-Advocates. So one, we knew that it had input directly from the people who it was trying to educate. And then it also was written to be taught by self-advocates and a support person. And again, we know through other projects that the ARC has done and that self-advocates has done that peer-to-peer training is really, really vital. It's really important that people with disabilities are talking to people with disabilities about mm-hmm. these issues that are important to them. Not only did that provide us an opportunity to provide education, but also provided us an opportunity to actually hire and employ self-advocates and another way to pay them for their work. We're still in the beginning processes, but we've hired four teams of presenters, and they are being trained. They went through an online train the trainer program that's provided by Elevatus Training, and now we're in the process of kind of teaching them the different modules that they're teaching. This curriculum is huge, and there is no way that we can do all of it. So our goal is to kind of do an introduction to it, provide some basic information about some of the more broad topics that are in the curriculum, and then hopefully encourage the chapters that we go and talk to purchase this curriculum themselves and do the whole 22-chapter curriculum in their agency, because we really think that will be even more effective.
And let's talk about providers then, how the reception of, going into providers and saying, okay, are they receptive to having these things and starting the abuse conversation?
There does seem to be some renewed interest in focusing on this topic, probably, again, just because it's something that's been talked about. NPR did a really great piece on that did focus on people with disabilities and sexual assault, and I think that opened a lot of people's eyes to this. And so there does seem to be renewed interest. The task force that Kelsey helped with creating has a lot of providers that were interested in being mm-hmm. on it, and so that, I mean, they were okay. receptive. And the survey, do you want to talk about the survey responses from the staff?
Some of the staff that took it were responsive, and some of them knew about the policies at their agencies. Some of them didn't know what to do and how to help in an abusive situation mm-hmm. or where to go and what to do with it. Some of them didn't know what the policies were with their agency about the whistleblowing policy mm-hmm. when it comes to providers.
Most of them seemed to know that they had policies mm-hmm. and that they were trained on them, mm-hmm. but their confidence level necessarily in actually addressing this issue, or if an issue came up, knowing what to do or feeling confident knowing how to help a person handle that, they weren't 100% sure on that.
What are the next steps, Kelsey, when the fellowship is over?
The Abuse Prevention Task Force will continue to meet regularly. I also got asked to be a consultant with Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and we're working on a project right now. I'm helping with working on a blog around consent. Not easy talking about consent versus like the justice version of consent. Then you have to be careful with guardians and whether or not they give consent versus you giving consent.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Amanda, the training that you're doing, I mean, it'll break it all down, right? It breaks it all down into layman's terms, because this is confusing.
Yeah, I think, and again, the curriculum that we have, we chose for a reason. We felt like it was very easy to understand. It spelled it out in a way that it's simple. And I think will hopefully help people understand really what that means. And, you know, Kelsey will be helping as one of those trainers, so she'll get to continue her work being a part of that as well. But, yeah, I think this does a really great job. The way that we're going to do it's a little different, but if it was being taught traditionally in, like, a maybe once a week class at an agency, the curriculum itself has at the beginning of each unit, there's an exercise where it reinforces the idea of consent, and they do that through every person in the class has a name tag, and then they start the class by ask facilitator, and one of the people in the class will act out, and the facilitator say, well, here's your name tag, and we'll tell them where to put it. Or each of them are a little bit different, like, I want you to put this on the bottom of your shirt, and the idea is the person's supposed to say, it's my body, I get to choose where I put it. And it's a simple, and maybe it's a silly example, but the reinforcement of that for each time that class begins is this practice of, you get to choose what you want to do with your body, and you know, no one else can tell you what to do with it or put or touch it without consent, you know. Yeah. And so it reinforces that idea of consent, and so it's all that consent all goes throughout that whole curriculum, which I think is really important.
I'm interested in it. People listening will be interested in it. So what do we do as far as getting involved?
So the toolkit is not done yet. It will be on the SARTEC website when it's done. And then you guys can, from there, go, like, get the toolkit and then use it in your counties when it comes to helping self-advocates, the self-advocate groups, and then those providers helping the people that you work for. And that way it will... eventually, after everything gets done, it will be on our website.
So her fellowship actually ends the end of this month. So once it's done, since it's funded by SARTEC, we have to wait for them to publish it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if anybody will want information or some of the handouts, please reach out to us. We're happy to share those. And then for information about the Sexuality Matters Project, if that's something that your agency would want us to come and you know, do at your agency, you can contact me. And so my email is acircle@arcind.org. I'll be kind of coordinating those. Again, we're finishing up the training on those, so give us about a couple months, but we'd be happy to take requests now.
Kelsey and Amanda, thank you so very much. And thank you so very much for your work in all of this. Thank you very, very much. And thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.